Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, guys? Cycle Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. Adam Gray and I are on the trail. What's up, Adam Gray?
How you doing, buddy? How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Went back to Clarinda, got the new site launched. It was an exciting weekend.
It was. It was a big, big weekend. Actually, the new site came out, rolled out, and I looked, just checked out our Google Analytic numbers. Twice as much traffic over the weekend as there was the week before.
Yeah.
So people are excited. People are liking it.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen anything bad, really. Even
no.
The thing that people are like, they're like questioning or they want to see, it's just like trying to help.
Yeah, no.
Instead of just being a douche.
You're exactly right. People are, people have ideas that need to get fixed, and they're at least it's constructive criticism. It's nice, you know. No one's complaining. I think most everything I've seen, people love the new website. They're excited about it, and there's just a couple bugs that we're working to get fixed. Chris and you are doing a great job staying on top of that. So, yeah, really excited about it. It's just going to continue to get better and better, especially heading into the football season when we can get side bookie on there and start placing some bets.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to – well, we recorded the On the Trail podcast last week.
We did.
Yeah. And then I had some computer problems. We had the stuff with the iTunes. RSS feed was down over the weekend. So we're back again. We're going to do the same podcast.
So we're doing two this week then.
Yeah.
One on Monday, one later on this week. Is that how we're going to do it?
Is that how we're going to do it?
Or
are we going to make this our switch?
No, I think we should do both.
Should we do both?
I think we should.
Is there going to be enough news for us to do both?
Well, we'll kind of play that back.
I was going to say, because
yeah,
I'm not sure that there will be.
We'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to redo the podcast again, but I think a couple new information's come out since then, so we'll freshen it up a little bit. But, yeah, thanks again to our advertisers, the Exercise Coach, for hosting or sponsoring these podcasts here, the Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. Give them a call. Stop in there for free workouts. If you call and say you heard about them from Cyclone Fanatic, I've been doing it, like I said, for probably about 3 or 4 months now. I love it. You got down there. You did the workouts too. Like I said, nothing you've seen before. It's a completely different workout than most people are used to. Check them out.
20 minutes. You're in and out.
All right,
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Who doesn't have 20 minutes? I know people don't have an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But people have 20 minutes. They can fill it in there. And it, I mean, you walk in and you check your watch when you get out, 20 minutes every time.
Every single time. And every single time you're going to walk out and you're going to be tired.
Yes, you will. You should be. It's a workout, right?
Right.
You should be tired.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to get a good workout every time. It's not like you're going in and wasting your 20 minutes.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Because I've been a lot of different places. Like, it's like, oh, you get your workout real quick, but then it feels like you don't really do anything.
Yeah.
You feel like you do something when you go to the exercise coach.
Like when you go play basketball against some of those scrubs down at State Gym. Because you just beat up on them so bad that it just doesn't even feel like a workout for you.
Sure, yeah. That's about how it is when I go to Clarinda to play.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Clarinda is not exactly a hotbed for top talent, for
Dude,
basketball
they have,
talent.
They have hey, man, don't hate on the western part of the state. Don't hate on Western Iowa basketball.
You've said this to me many times that Clarinda is traditionally has been a pretty horrific basketball program. Besides your class. Your class was one of the only ones.
Well, we were the first ones to win a game at state, but I wouldn't say that we were like horrific. We've had a lot of good basketball players come through. We just never won a game at state before.
Until your team.
Yeah, my team.
I'd consider that pretty horrific, all right.
There's a lot of schools that haven't been to the state tournament at all.
Yeah.
We've done that a bunch of times.
Well, I don't know if you saw Johnson girls just won state for softball.
State softball. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Been to the Dragons. Been to the championship for the last 4 years. Todd Miracle just working magic there at Johnston. So shout out to the girls. Shout out to the girls there. Something that Clarinda is not used to is bringing home state titles.
So there's another new Iowa State basketball offer that went out this weekend. Teddy Allen, 17 kid from Boys Town in Omaha.
So,
which makes it for like a really Okay, because there's a couple different points I want to make about this. First of all, he doesn't have a highlight tape, which I think says a lot about what his current situation is with his basketball career. Secondly, I would really like to see Iowa State try and hit the Omaha market harder. That's my first thing I want you to react to, though.
Well, okay, so I'll hit on that. Omaha market. Name players the last 10 years that come out of the Omaha area that have been solid Division I players.
Solid Division I players, okay. Well, I mean, I can't think of one off.
Oh, yeah.
Head.
So we really
but
need to get it on
well,
that market.
No, but I'm saying there are kids in Omaha that can play ball. Like I.
Like who? I'm just asking for a name.
Well, think of Akoy Agow, who went to Louisville.
Okay.
He played at Omaha Central.
Okay.
And he won four state titles at Omaha Central. He didn't. I don't think he's really played. He transferred to Georgetown, I think. But
hasn't played.
Well, he's just like a sophomore.
Did Iowa State go after him? Did they offer him?
Not that I remember. Okay. I just remember it was Louisville and Nebraska were his last two.
Okay.
And he went to Louisville.
Okay. So they got one kid there.
Well, that's – there was a bunch of guys on his team that were really good. I just don't remember their
yeah.
names. Like well, I mean, said, they won four state titles in a row, so.
The way I look at it is if there's good players then there, then, yeah, get in and get active. But if there's not, I mean, you don't just make a point to go recruit
well,
a
no,
just
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that I think there are good players in the Omaha area. Then I think that – And Nebraska doesn't hit the Omaha area hard. So why can't Iowa State be the program that hits the Omaha area hard and tries to be that program that gets those good kids from Nebraska and Omaha?
But who are the good kids?
I'm saying that when there are good kids like a Teddy Allen who we're about to talk about right now.
And now Iowa State's going after him.
And that's what I'm saying.
Well,
has Nebraska offered him? No, they haven't. No, they haven't.
Okay.
No.
But we're not competing with Nebraska
and
for kids.
Iowa State's the first Power 5 school to offer him.
Yeah. Is that a worrisome? To you.
No, because he's dropping like 50 points on people in Las Vegas.
This is crazy. So,
well, he picked after Iowa State offered. He got one. I think he got one from Virginia Tech. Like he got a bunch more offers.
Did he?
This weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's one that's really just blowing up right now. And hopefully we can get him. Proximity wise probably helps. But you said he's actually from Arizona.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I feel like a lot of things got really screwed up for him because he came from, I think it's like, I can't remember the name of the school, but his brother plays for a school in Arizona as well. And he was there his first 2 years and then came to Boys Town, had to sit out half the year, and then he started playing in January. Once he started playing, Boys Town was one of the best teams in the state.
So he seems like a really intriguing prospect to me, A, because we haven't seen any video of him in 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing out there of him. But he also kind of, I'll just be completely honest, seems like one of those Emmanuel Malu guys. You know what I'm saying? There's not a whole lot of tape on him.
Yeah, I know what
he kind of goes under the radar, but people type him up a lot. But he's had some maybe academic stuff where he's transferred schools. Is he ever going to be able one of these guys who you're ever going to see play Division I, high Division I?
I would say that it's not as much a Malu situation as it is why is he at Boys Town?
Yeah.
That's what I would like to know.
Which, okay, so not Malu, but you see what I'm saying as far as the comparison of.
Yeah, yeah.
If this kid can ever get into Division I, he could be a lot of questions.
Yeah.
A lot of questions. Which, honestly. It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
As far as, wow, we could get this guy under the radar that no one else knows. He's dropping 50 points a game in Vegas. He could be a big 4- or 5-star kid if a lot more people knew about him, but he transferred, sat out the year. Our proximity, first team to offer. Maybe we get this kid who ends up being an absolute stud. Yeah, I mean, that's exciting. That is exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Beating teams in Nebraska, is it really anything to hang your hat on, though? I don't know. Is Nebraska basketball very good at all?
Oh, well, no.
Okay.
Well, what you mean school ball?
Yeah.
Oh, it just depends on where you're at. You
I
know?
Mean, Wes, like Wes Omaha, Eichmeyer used to tear it up there in Fremont.
Well, he was a good player at Colorado State, though.
Yeah, he was. He was a nice player. He's not a – I mean
– Well, no, he wasn't a Division I guy.
Or no, like Big 12.
Big 12 guy.
Yeah,
he's
a nice player.
He's a nice player.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's usually schools like in Omaha that are always pretty good, and then Lincoln has some schools that are pretty good at basketball.
Okay.
But AAU is way bigger there than it is. It's been there longer than it has here.
Sure.
Which is what, like, has always seemed really weird to me about how, Nebraska high school basketball is not that good.
Yeah.
Because they play a lot of basketball there.
Okay.
Like, it just doesn't make very much sense to me.
Do they have more private schools out there, too, than we have here?
Yeah, they have a lot more private schools.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, interesting. You said the name this weekend on Slack. We were talking about him. I went up and pulled up his video, and I'm watching his highlight tape, and I'm like, yeah, this kid looks like he's a nice player. Doesn't look overly athletic, but he looks like he's got an attitude to him,
right.
Which I kind of liked a little bit. Then I find out after talking to you here today, that video is from 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's from 2014, when he was still in Arizona.
Which actually makes me kind of like this kid even more. Because I thought it was a video that from just the other day, and I'm like, he looks like a nice player. He doesn't look anything special, you know? But, yeah, I mean, that was 2 years ago. So
yeah, he was getting buckets from everything I could tell in
– In Vegas?
In Vegas, yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the my other post from last
Teddy week. Allen.
Yeah, Teddy Allen's his name. He's got a little brother named Timmy. Timmy Allen. He's like a
– Teddy and Timmy.
He's the number 110 prospect in the 18 class. He's got an offer from UCLA, Nebraska, Creighton, all of those.
Well, let's get both of them.
That's what I'm saying. Get his brother.
Let's lock him in. How tall is this Teddy Allen? 6'8"?
I think he's like 6'7", 6'8". Like okay. I said, there's like you can't find anything about him. It's impossible to even know anything about him.
That is a little bit scary about what's going on our basketball recruiting. I mean, let's throw that out there too, just a little bit, all right? We have some intriguing prospects, but we have this guy. There's no Rivals page on him. There's nothing. Joyner, when we offered him, had no Rivals page, nothing, I don't believe. Am I correct on that?
If he did, it was only for a smaller offer.
And the only video you can find on Elijah Joyner is a grainy video that looks like it was shot in 1942. I mean, so now he could be a nice prospect. He could be a nice prospect, but I'm just saying it is a little worrisome.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it makes you raise some questions.
Sure. And honest to God, it could not matter. Both those kids could be studs.
Yeah.
But I mean, they also could be Doty Dunsons of the world.
Right.
Do you remember Doty Dunson?
I don't.
Yeah, that was before your time. Doty Dunson, I think he ended up transferring to Bradley. Wasn't a terrible player, but if you're going to win Big 12 games, you got to recruit better than the Doty Dunsons of the world. So, yeah. So the guy, Elijah Joyner, I saw you just wrote an article about him, put it up on Cyclone Fanatic as well.
Yeah.
Iowa State, the team to beat right now?
They're the biggest school to offer him.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Who are some of his other big offers?
Big offers? He doesn't have any.
Does he have any mid-major decent offers?
There's UAB.
We have trouble beating UAB. We know that.
St. Louis. I'd say St. Louis is probably his best like mid-major offer.
So he doesn't have like a Dayton or Xavier or any of those schools?
I don't think so. No. I misspoke when I said he had an Xavier offer.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
he's got an interest from Butler and Arkansas, but he hasn't.
We all know what interest means.
Yeah.
I mean, a 6'3 point guard from Chicago that doesn't have other offers and is a year away from going to college.
Illinois State.
Yeah, I mean.
Toledo. DePaul. DePaul's a big East school. That's a power offer.
We're at the point, too, where this is really Prohm's first recruiting class.
Yeah.
So it's how good is he as far as identifying talent? Maybe seeing something in guys that are other coaches don't see. Because there are guys that do slip through the cracks. You see it every year. But you can't make a living on that, too. You know, maybe you find a guy here or there. But more times than not, if you're getting guys that don't have offers from other Big 12 schools or other – more times than not, they don't pan out. There are some that do. But so it'll be interesting. But, I mean, I like his size, 6'3 point guard. We'll see. How about the other three guys you just wrote an article on last week?
So I've got Torrence Watson, guard from – Missouri.
Shooting guard, correct?
Yeah. I like him. He's the number 14 shooting guard in the class in 2018. See, that's what a lot of what I'm seeing is like they're in on guys that are big time in the 18 class. Like,
because they have had more time to get in on these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's where Prohm and his staff are in a tough spot because. This class, 2017 class, is huge for them. There's, six, seven open scholarships right now?
I think six, yeah.
Six. And they haven't had a full time to really recruit these guys. I mean, they've been on campus now for a year, but a lot of times these relationships start even earlier than that. So, yeah, I don't envy them at all. So, this Torrence Watson kid, the next three guys you're all mentioning are all 2018 kids, correct?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Torrence Watson, 6'3", 175 pounds. He'd have to be like a two guard, I think. He'd play like a 2-3 kind of.
He seems kind of like a slasher.
Yeah.
Not as big as a Jacoby Long, but kind of a similar player. Would you agree with that?
Probably.
He's long.
He's not a lefty, though.
No, not a lefty, but he's long. He looks somewhat physical for a kid his age already.
Right.
Likes kind of going in and getting contact.
And he looks strong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He
looks like Jacoby Long.
Overpower everybody at his current level.
Yep. Which I think always helps out on defense a lot as well.
Yeah, for sure. His other offers right now, Missouri, K-State, Illinois, Creighton. Then there's a handful of others.
Good offers. I'd argue Iowa State's the best out of all those as far as offers go with where they're currently at.
Yeah, I'd agree. Then I've got Race Thompson, power forward from Minnesota. He doesn't really have quite the same – I mean, he's number 27 power forward in the class of 2018, but his other offers are Minnesota, North Dakota, and Northern Iowa.
Yeah. This is a kid, and we talked about this last week before the podcast got deleted. But he reminds me a lot of and he will be compared to George Niang. A big guy, 6'7", 6'8", you know, very similar height. Not a great athlete, doesn't get off the floor, doesn't play above the rim. See, and guys, people listening, this is us watching a three-minute highlight tape, right? We're not going to these camps, we're not watching. But if you guys watch it too, I think most people listening will agree. He has one of those just knacks as far as playing the game, scoring. I'm not saying he's going to be George Niang, number three player in Iowa State history for scoring or anything like that. I'm just saying he will be compared to George Niang based on height and limited athletic ability. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not very often that you watch a highlight tape for a 6'8 power forward, and I don't think you saw him dunk once.
I don't think he did.
No.
But that was the same thing with Niang. I remember people killed when we offered Niang. What the hell are we doing? This guy looks fat. He looks slow. ESPN write-up on him says he's mid-major at best, but they saw something in him.
Idiots.
Idiots. Guy's now in the league.
Okay, last one is Jarvis Thomas. Another power forward.
I love Jarvis Thomas.
He only has offers from Wisconsin, Green Bay, and Oregon State.
I'm telling you. He's going to blow up.
You're changing your tune, I feel like. I don't feel like you said that last time.
I didn't say that?
No.
Well, he's long.
Yeah.
He's really long, and he's athletic.
He's like the complete opposite of Race Thompson because all of his highlight tape is dunks.
His dunks. Yeah. That's all it is, yeah. So I don't know how skilled his offensive game is, but he's still young. I mean, he's still got another two years of school. But he's long, he's athletic, stuff you can't teach. Got a little bit of that Rashawn Clark in him as far as that goes. But
I'm pretty sure the first, like, 10 seconds, he dunks on, like, three guys.
Yeah.
Just way up over the top of him.
He's got those – I mean, I bet you his wingspan is close to 7 feet.
Yeah.
And he's a young kid. I mean, his arms just look like they go forever.
Right.
So, I don't know. You know, you like those guys not only from just an offensive standpoint, but defensive and rebounding. You get, you know, making those passing lanes get a little bit tighter when you got a guy like that guarding you.
Right.
So, I think he'd be a really nice commit, and it would not surprise me if a kid like that, you start seeing him get a lot more offers down the road.
Definitely.
He's a four-star, isn't he? Or near four-star?
I don't think he was rated.
He wasn't?
When I looked.
Was it Race Thompson that was almost a four-star?
Yeah, Race Thompson's a three, and then Watson's a four.
Watson's a four, okay.
But Thompson's, like, right on the edge between being a three and a four.
He's, like, barely out of the top 100.
He's going to get more offers. Like, he probably
hasn't
seen that much.
Yeah, he's a skilled power forward.
Yeah.
Especially the way basketball's going. Don't you think a guy like Race Thompson now is coveted by college basketball coaches a lot more than he would have been 10 years ago?
Yeah, probably, just for being long.
Yeah.
And long.
Well, skilled.
And skilled, yeah.
The skill aspect of it. I mean,
he just has a good feel for the game. Like,
yeah.
That's what I saw when I just watched him.
I feel like 10 years ago that got overlooked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you big? Are you athletic? You know, can you jump? You start seeing even like we're going to NBA, but Draymond Green would not have been the player in the NBA 10 years ago that he is today.
Yeah.
The game's kind of changing a little bit, the spacing aspect of it. So I think I agree, Race Thompson will probably blow up here a little bit as well.
If you want to learn more about these guys, you can get on CycloneFanatic.com. Check out my post. You've got to go to the men's basketball page to find it. It's off the homepage now since it was kind of the middle of last week. But it's Cyclones Handout, three new 2018 offers. So check that out.
The best way for people to look at this, too, is the very top. Click on News.
Yeah.
Right there on the right-hand side, it'll say Categories. Click on whatever category. Obviously, this one's basketball, and boom, the articles will be right there.
Yep, right there. You'll see what I wrote about Elijah Joyner earlier today. Those three guys should be right there at the top. So,
do we have anything? When do JUCO guys start getting their offers? Because I'm gonna guess Iowa State goes after for the 2017 class a JUCO guy or two.
I'd say, yeah, I'd agree with that. But I feel like JUCO guys don't get offers till late.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there? Okay, remember,
unless you're you might not know this name, but TJ Dunnins, who went to Auburn, he dropped like 30 a game at Columbia State. Like, he would get offers like after his junior year. Not a lot of guys are like that, or his freshman year. A lot of guys are like that, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Remember when Pierre Jackson blew up?
Yeah.
I mean, he just went and dominated. That was at a tournament, or was that at the championship?
It's I was going to say, it's probably once – a lot of times once guys get to Hutch, because you who knows who these guys are playing against all year.
Pierre Jackson went to, like, North Dakota school or something, didn't he? Wasn't he out in the middle of nowhere?
I mean, it could have been, like, North Dakota School of the Mines. I know they make it a lot to Hutch. But once these guys get to Hutch is a lot of times when these college coaches will see them.
Yeah.
Because that's when you finally get to see them against, like, the best of the best. Dude, you need – Adam, you would love Hutch.
When is that? When is that?
It's usually the first week or the same week as the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
But it's like 2 weeks just – or a full week, 16-team double elimination tournament. Just – it's a lot of fun.
What did you say the school you thought – what's CSI for a – JUCO for him. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Pierre Jackson. It's driving me crazy trying to figure out where. Oh, College of Southern Idaho.
Oh yeah.
I knew it was out in the middle of nowhere is where he went to school.
I actually watched him play in the national championship game for College of Southern Idaho.
And
they had a big dude that was really good too that year.
And they won, I believe.
Yeah, they won.
And he went off. And that's when all of a sudden he got all these offers and went to Baylor.
I'm pretty sure he was like the player of the tournament.
Yeah, he was. He was MVP.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, so, I mean, that was when it blew up, and I'm trying to, I mean.
That's like the first weekend of March, like one of those first couple weeks of March.
So we might be holding off 3 scholarships until then, probably.
Yeah, I mean,
because
you're
looking
at think about they
grad transfer.
I was going to say, who knows if they take a grad transfer, too.
Yep. So out of the 6 scholarships, we're guessing that they try to fill up 3 high school kids, get a JUCO or 2, or get a grad transfer, too. That's kind of the mix we're looking at right now.
Right.
Okay.
The Cubs just got Aroldis Chapman.
Did they? Who'd they trade for him?
They said they traded
that
in a 5-player deal. So they gave up 4 people for him.
Well, they're all in on winning right now. He's a free agent now after this year.
Is he?
Yeah. So it's but
I don't know about that one.
Here's the thing, though, man. You're the Cubs. You want to win right now. You're set to win right now.
Dude, the Yankees went all out on that deal, do they? Don't they? Because they traded for him in the offseason. I don't think they gave up very much for him. And then they get 4 players out of a guy that they were going to have for one year.
1 year, and they're obviously not going to win anything this year, so they might have.
Just bamboozled the Cubs.
I don't think anyone really bamboozles Theo Epstein, do they?
Oh, no, he just got bamboozled.
We'll see.
By Cashman.
We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if you're the Cubs, do you make that deal? You have to say, hey, we'll make this deal as long as we can get that. You tell us that you're going to sign with us next year. Can they do that? Can they have that conversation with the guy?
That's more of like an NBA thing, I feel like, than it is a baseball one, you know?
They send Torres, McKinney, Warren, and 1 more player to the Yankees. I don't know who those players are.
I've never heard of them before.
Yeah.
I'm not a Cubs fan, though, so I guess I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you're a Cardinals. How are the Cardinals doing lately, huh?
I don't know.
Not good.
I don't really follow baseball.
My brother went down to the last two games. He's a big Dodgers fan. He took his kids down there.
So he didn't go to the 16-inning game then?
No.
That was on Friday night. Or Thursday night, maybe.
He went to the game on Saturday and yesterday, Sunday, and they
lost both games.
Yeah, Dodgers won both, so he was pretty happy about that.
Yeah. I know they had a kid that like just made his major league debut yesterday that pitched.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He got rocked.
Yeah.
He gave up 6 in the first inning.
Yeah. Well, and that's pretty tough to show up for your major league debut. It's Sunday night baseball, like one of the better offenses in baseball. And that's
who?
Tough.
The Dodgers?
I mean, that's a tough team to play on your first night in the majors?
Yeah. Dodgers are all right. That would be a nice way. I mean, it just depends how you look at it. Some people love it. Some people would probably be like, I wish I was playing at 8 o'clock at night and was blocked out everywhere and no one could see it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's just tough for
says a lot about the kid.
To have your first – I mean, just for it to go awful and then have an awful debut, like that'd just be – that'd be rough.
That would be rough. I agree.
All right, so we're going to redo this hot board. Before I post it sometime this week.
Okay.
Whenever I get around to doing it.
So, yeah, the football hot board, why don't we go back to your initial hot board real quick and you read off those names.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of go from there as far as where it's at right now. Do you foresee there to be a lot of change between now and beginning of football season on this hot board?
No, I doubt it.
The only way it really changes is if you get people committing, but who they're going after, they're kind of in a holding pattern, aren't they?
Right, yeah. Well, it's like – I was going to say it's like we talked about last week, but no one would have known
no one heard us.
What that was. they've got so many guys committed already that they're almost putting themselves into a position now where they can kind of like hold tight and go hard after their guys that they really, really want.
Yeah.
You know, and they can be kind of selective. Like, when's the last time that Iowa State could have been selective? Like, we can sit here and say, yeah, Iowa State can really be selective about the guys they take moving forward. Not they just need to fill their class, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've hit on this quite a bit, but at this time last year, I think the only person that was committed to Iowa State was Carson Lensing.
Right.
So, completely different place there. Well, let's quick talk about Karan Hafiz, who just committed to Iowa State, I don't know, what, 3 weeks ago? Quarterback from Florida. It was kind of a surprise because he was looking to commit to Virginia Tech, didn't, came on a visit to Iowa State, committed that weekend. He just went back last weekend and visited Virginia Tech. And now I saw him tweet out the other day that he's trying to figure out where he's taking his official visits to.
Is he?
Yeah. Now, I have no problem with this, Jared. I'm just going to throw this out here.
Uh-huh.
This kid's 17, 18 years old. He's trying to figure out where he's going to spend the next 4 or 5 years of his life. Probably the most important decision he'll make. One of the most important decisions he'll make.
Right.
Take your time, make it, right?
Right.
No issue with it. With that said, I do not consider Karan Hafiz at this time an Iowa State commit.
I'd agree with that. I can't. Yeah, I can't disagree.
Can we put him? Should we put him back on our hot board? Or is he not? Can you? Do you just kind of leave him off and just kind of wait and see on that?
I'd say it's just a wait and see.
Okay.
Okay. Well, for some reason,
I have your hot board here.
I would say it won't load.
You want the first one of the summer?
No, I want the most recent one.
The most recent one. Okay, I got that one here too. So your hot board:
Bobby Rountree, Cam White.
Yep, Bobby Rountree. Then you had Cam White. Then you had Marquise Hayes, Wiley Lester, Devin Lamp, Keontae Jones, Reese Leto, KJ Hamler, Ray Lima, and then Cedric Dort. Where's the top 10 for you last time?
Yeah. I've made some changes since we recorded last time, too.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, okay. I've just kind of rethought some things.
Well, let's just hit on the fact Marquise Hayes, who was number one on my list last time we did it, has since committed to Oklahoma. He got an offer, committed the very next day. I'm extremely bummed about this. Can't blame a kid for ever picking Oklahoma. But, gosh, he would have – he's a kid that I think you bring in your red shirt and he starts 4 years for Iowa State. I really think he was that good. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he would have been. Who else is off? Devin Lamp, who you had number five, has since committed to Iowa State.
Yeah, so he's off the board just because he's now on board.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. I think everyone else.
Yeah, everybody else should be good.
Yep. Okay. All right. With that said, who is your current number one?
Caleb Chandler.
Mine as well. Who was on the first board, took off because he committed to Iowa State, has since decommitted, looking to take a couple visits, but it seems like Iowa State's still very much in it.
Yeah, I'd say so. And I think Florida might be getting a little harder after them now.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think they got upgraded to Warm on his 247. Yeah. And I think Georgia did as well. So I think Georgia, Iowa State, and Florida are all at Warm.
What's with Georgia trying to take our top offensive lineman?
They've done it once.
Well, yeah, now they're trying to do it again the second time.
It's okay. They wanted Tony more than they wanted
Tony. Tony can kiss my you-know-what. For people listening, we're talking about Tyler Cantilena, the Rhode Island transfer who'd committed to Iowa State, signed I don't know. Do you even sign a letter of intent as a transfer?
It's not a letter of intent. It's like your financial aid agreement.
You signed a financial aid agreement with Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then his brother, he was feeling kind of lonely on the side. wanted a little love from some school. So he started, can I say whoring his brother out? Is that okay to say?
You already said it, so I guess it doesn't matter.
He kind of was. He kind of did a little bit.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah. And since his brother has...
Now his brother will just live in Cyclone lore.
As what could have been.
Yeah.
You put him on the offensive line, and you already think the line is average.
No, I said I think they could be
could
average.
Could be average.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would gladly sign up for average. I think it would have been average to... It could have been above average if we're going off your scale, right? But that was a big killer, not getting that kid. And he would have been a sure starter for Iowa State.
All right, so that's number one.
Yep.
Number two, Wiley Lester.
Why?
Junior college defensive tackle. Need a guy that can come in and fill that role right away. DeMond Tucker's going to be gone. You know, you're going to lose some other guys in the middle of that defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need someone that's going to have the physical tools to come in and play in the Big 12 right away. I think he does. He's a big dude.
We've hit on this before, but Pierre Ackett, Bobby Leith, and DeMond Tucker are all gone.
Yeah.
which leaves Iowa State next year, going to next year with Robbie Garcia, undersized defensive tackle, you know.
Great guy. Love Robbie.
I'm not saying anything bad about him.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Robbie Garcia to me is one of those guys who you have in on the second string, and he comes in and he plays his ass off for X amount of – but I don't know if you ever want that guy being your starting defensive tackle in the Big 12. Is that a fair take?
I can't disagree.
No, I mean, Vernell Trent is those two will both be seniors next year. And then Josh Bailey and Jamal Johnson are freshmen this year. Hopefully redshirt them, but who knows? They might play. That's it. That's all we have for defensive tackle next year. So I actually have Wiley Lester number three, but perfectly fine with you having him number two.
I'd say Ray Lima would be up. I haven't decided if I'm going to – I'd say he'd probably be like five, too. He'll be up there as well.
Okay. Yeah. I have Ray Lima at five.
Yeah.
Yeah, both JUCO defensive tackles and both guys that you'd imagine if they get in here, one of them would start, but more than anything, they provide depth.
Who do you have at number two if you've got Wiley Lester number three?
I got Thayer Munford.
Okay. Did you see my video that I tweeted out this morning?
Uh-uh.
He was at a camp at Ohio State this weekend and was pushing some kids around.
It's not surprising. He looks like a man-child.
Yeah.
He looks massive. Is
he has
off?
Like a similar body type to like Marquise Hayes, kind of. Like they're built similarly, I feel like. They're both just like kind of big round guys.
Big, yeah. That's all right. Mold them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big, strong. Yeah. No, Iowa State, the offensive line is decimated, and they need to start rebuilding it as quick as possible. So one of those two, if they could get Chandler or Munford, just one of the two, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of a bummer because when they got Chandler, then it was, man, if they could just get Munford or Hayes, one of those two, this would be a great offensive line class.
Right.
But still, I mean, I think they've done a good enough job getting some other guys in there who the staff seems to like.
I think the thing about these guys that they've got, they might not be like the highest rated guys, but they fit what Tom Manning wants to do.
We hope.
You know?
Yeah, we hope.
And at least that's what at least they think that they fit what he wants to do, you know? At this point in their life, they do.
Yeah.
Who knows once they get here, but.
Sure. The good thing, I mean, if you can, I mean, obviously you want to recruit great talent offensive linemen, but a lot of it is, too, is how well are they coached, trained, how hard are they going to work? And offensive line has been a position where we've had some bad injuries, but at the same time, it seems like we have not been coached very well in the offensive line, too.
Right.
So, all right. So I have him number two. I already told you who I have number three. That's Wiley Lester.
I think I've got Bobby Rountree number three.
Okay, so you dropped Bobby Rountree.
Yeah. I just thought about some of the stuff you said to me the first time we recorded this.
Yeah.
I thought more about it, and then I had him number one.
You did?
Initially. But, yeah, once we talked about it a little bit more, you talked about the offensive line, and you just convinced me. Moved him down a little bit. He's still high up there, though. I mean.
No, yeah, he's really high. It's It shows a lot about you to admit when you're wrong.
Yeah.
And to listen to your elders and then, you know.
I mean, every time I do this, you know, every time I do this, I ask you for your opinion.
You do. No, it's good. And I think that's those times where you bring up guys too and then I kind of think about it and I make changes. And, you know, it's funny. 2 weeks ago, we ranked our 2016 recruits, right?
Yeah.
And I put up my rankings on the board and I told people, hey, make your own rankings. We can go back and look. Nope, most people did not do that. You know what they just did? They found two or three guys of mine that they thought I was idiotic for, and they pointed those out. And you know what? I could be completely wrong on these guys, but just I have no problem you telling me I'm an idiot, but just give me your rankings too. That way we can go back and look and say, hey, you're right, you're wrong. And I guarantee you that we're going to be wrong on these.
Right.
Like it's gonna happen. But I don't know. I got a kick out of that. My number four is Demetri Moore.
Okay, yeah.
Linebacker goes to same high school as Devin Lamp down there at Cedar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker, outside linebacker, highly rated, 6'3", good size, and a position of need. Our linebackers are a little scary, a little bit. So he would be a definite upgrade in talent.
Definitely. Number four, I've got Thayer Munford.
Yeah, Thayer. Okay.
Yeah, I just pulled up my thing now.
You got it pulled up, okay.
Yeah. So I've got Munford number four. I've got Ray Lehman number five. And then I've got Demetri Moore number six.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. My five was Ray Lehman. My number six is Cam White.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny.
I got him seven. So.
So, yeah, we're right about the same there. I stand by this. I think besides now Caleb Chandler getting him back on board, I think Cam White might be the most impressive commit if Iowa State were to get him, mm-hmm. based on location, how highly he's recruited or rated. But with all the safeties Iowa State has brought in with Everett Edwards, McEnroe Alexander, safety position doesn't seem as high of a need as it did when we first offered him or were first going after him. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So
and as much as anything, it was when like his name first kind of came onto the radar.
Yeah.
None of these other big time guys had come onto the radar yet. He was the first one.
He was the
first
one.
So it was like, oh my gosh, we got to go get this guy.
I agree. You know? Well, I think besides Caleb Chandler, he still might have the second best offers out of anybody.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now, him and Munford would be about this.
Demetri Moore's got some nice offers too, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, it'd be a great commit. That's my number six. My number seven is Bobby Rountree. So we're just – I think we just flip-flop those two guys. You had Rountree – no, you had Rountree at five, didn't you?
That's him at three.
Oh, I'm way off. Okay. Yeah.
Close enough.
6'5 defensive end. High school. I mean, that's a kid you just bring in and you just mold into hopefully a stud.
You hope he turns into Sean Oakman.
Minus the off-field –
well,
incidents.
Yeah, besides that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Probably not a good comparison right now.
My bad. Okay, you hope he turns into Reggie White. I don't know. Number eight, I've got KJ Hamler.
So do I.
Okay. Just a good shifty receiver. Be like nice to add somebody to play that in position.
I love KJ Hamler. Yeah. I love him. Now, I mean, he's got some speed to him and everything, but he just seems like a football player.
Definitely.
So,
physical. Matt Campbell offered him when he was in the eighth grade.
Yeah, because he's from Michigan originally, correct?
Yeah.
Now he's down in Florida playing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I asked someone like that knows football. I was like, "How can you tell when someone's in the eighth grade whether or not they're good enough to play Division I?" And they said, They said when you're like light years ahead of everyone else in your grade, you're probably good enough to play Division I football.
Yeah.
And he was light years ahead of everyone in his grade.
Probably hasn't grown since then.
No. He's little, dude.
He is.
Yeah.
He's, what, 5'8"?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what?
Hey, if nobody can catch you, what's it matter?
See, and he's fast, but would you say he's lightning fast?
No, but he's shifty.
He's shifty. He's fast. But I was just impressed with even how little he was physical. Like, he caught the ball with his hands. I liked him. I thought he looked really good in the tape I watched. Still at a receiving position, I got number nine, Reese Latow from Jinx, Oklahoma.
Yeah, tight end.
Tight end, yeah. You know, Iowa State's obviously already got one tight end commitment from
Charlie Kolar,
another Oklahoma kid. Charlie Kolar looks like one of those kids, too, will be kind of a blocking and receiving tight end is how they'll build him up.
Uh-huh.
Reese Latow looks like one of those guys that can maybe put outside a little bit, not necessarily line him up. Plus, I just want to get into that Jinx pipeline, man. They produce 2 to 3 stud Division I players every year.
Definitely.
And Carson Epps is from there, who I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I've got Keontae Jones, number 9.
Okay.
Another safety from Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Brother of DeShante Jones.
DeShante, yeah.
Yeah. Will DeShante play this year?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but I don't know. I wouldn't bank on it.
When are we going to start here? So, camp starts the day after media days, correct?
No, it starts August 4th.
And when's media day?
August 8th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you excited for media day?
Yeah. I don't know. It is what it is.
It's just kind of
it's one of those things that it's like necessary, but you don't get anything out of media day that you don't get out of any other day, except for the fact that everybody's available.
Everybody's available. But most of these players are coached up quite a bit as far as what to tell you, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
The most memorable media day interview I've ever done was with EJ Bibbs, and it wasn't memorable for anything that he said. It was memorable because I asked 6 questions in 1 minute. And that's how short his answers were.
He just gave you yeses and nos and that's about it.
Yeah.
Huh. But yeah.
Pretty sure I still have the video. Like it was awful. I saved it because it was just so funny that it was like one of my first interviews I'd ever done.
Were you able to even put anything together out of that?
No.
Any kind of story?
No.
Nothing.
No, I didn't. I don't even think I included anything in my video I made. It was just funny because Chris is like, go make sure you get something with EJ Bibbs, and then I went and asked him all these questions, and he was the big name. He was like, yeah. Yeah. I asked him if they were gonna use the tight end more with Mark Mangino. I think so. Okay, fair enough.
Good interview. So he was not Jeff Woody.
No, he was not Jeff Woody. Not many people are Jeff Woody. Except for Jeff Woody.
Yeah. Okay, so we somehow turned you saying Keontae Jones is your number 9 into that whole conversation.
Yeah.
But, I don't have him in the top 10. I'd be ecstatic if we got him, though. He seems like a nice player.
He just is like a a guy that always seems like is playing downhill.
Yeah.
And you need some guys like that on your defense, yeah. You know? Like, it's like a go find the football and just hit that guy.
Yeah. Do you think, is he a for sure take right now?
I would think so.
You think? I just wondering.
They've been on him for a long time. So they would think that if he wasn't, then.
Well, you know, I'm of the belief that Jordan Ulmer is still not a take just because I haven't seen them tweet anything.
Well, I think Keontae Jones is better than Jordan Ulmer.
Yeah, my opinion. I was wondering. Yeah. I wasn't sure if they're kind of holding out to see what, like, a Cam White's doing on that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Like I said, they've already shored up the safety position by bringing in some transfers.
Yeah.
So are they really selective on who they get now? And is he good enough to where they say, hey.
That's a good point.
Just wondering.
Well, then I think you could go the same way with I got Cedric Dort at number 10.
That's what I have at 10, too.
Well, couldn't you go almost the same way with that then? That secondary is pretty shored up right now.
Well, here's the thing, though. How locked in is Karanoff is?
See, like, there's so many variables there is. To talk about right now.
There is. Here's the thing, too. I always come back to when I say this, and this is why I think that Keontae Jones is a definite take, and Cedric Dort probably is, too, because when Campbell had his introductory press conference, he said he'll never pass up a good offensive lineman and never pass up a good secondary player.
Definitely.
So if he thinks, you know, if these guys are good, and we both think that they are good players, if they're going to commit to Iowa State, I think Iowa State takes them. And they find a way to make a scholarship open for them.
For sure.
Because there's going
to
be –
especially, think about in the Big 12, like, you've got to have bodies back there to play.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got good guys that want to come play for you, and it's like that is a major position of need in your conference – hit it hard. Take as many guys as you can
hit. And you know what? The kids are here for 1 or 2 years, and they might look around and be like, man, there's 5 guys ahead of me that are better than me. They're not going to stay. I mean, that's part of the game, right? If you get 18 cornerbacks in here, not all of them are going to stay for all 5 years.
Right.
So one name I want to point out we haven't talked about. He's not in our top 10. I think you actually, when we recorded this the other day, had him in your top 10. TJ Raham.
Oh, yeah.
So TJ Raham, I don't even know if I'm saying that name right.
It's like Raham.
Raham. Yeah. He is a defensive tackle from Alabama who's now at a school. The Petty School.
Yeah, the Petty School.
The Petty School. PEDDIE. It's not the greatest of names. But yeah, he's 6 foot, probably actually shorter than that, 300-pound defensive tackle, was 3-time state champion wrestling heavyweight there in Alabama. And he kind of reminds me, maybe not quite as fast or quick, but the Devon Tucker.
Yeah.
Undersized, but quick off the ball, has good leverage, can cause a little bit of mayhem. And Iowa State recently just offered him, too. So he was one that had a lot of, not offers, but a lot of interest from some big-time schools coming out of high school, but didn't make it grades-wise. Obviously, that's why he's at prep school.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his recruitment's like after his first semester at the prep school, probably.
Yeah. Do we need to talk about Brian Bobick at all?
No.
No?
That's been a while since that broke now.
Okay.
He's on the depth chart. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
He is on the roster. I don't think he's in the directory, but he is on the roster.
So when the news first broke, and I called you, and I said, I hear we just picked up a transfer from Minnesota and went to Ohio State Center. I said, if this kid's any good, I think it could give us one more win. Because our offensive line, I think, is that bad, right? But then saw how many games he actually played, and I kind of lowered my expectations a little bit. He's been hurt a lot. But then when Campbell came out and said he's already pound for pound the strongest guy on the team, and I hear this kid says he's as healthy as he's ever been, I can't help but be excited that, again on this kid. They think he will be a starter.
One of those years when he was injured, he was like – it wasn't an injury. I think he had like a heart condition.
Ugh.
Something with the lining and his heart was messed up, and that's why he had to sit out one of those years.
He's obviously got God-given talent. I mean, he went to Ohio State. He was a top 250 recruit in the country.
Yeah.
He's got talent. He just sounds like he's just had a bad run of luck. And hopefully that luck, bad luck's out of his system and he can come have a good senior season at Iowa State.
Right. And it's your last chance at this point.
Yeah.
Someone like that, that's a guy who probably looks at Iowa State and says, this is my chance to get to the league.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. And he's going to have a big year because people are always going to be worried about his injuries.
Definitely.
But, yeah. I think it was a big commitment, big pickup for the staff. They've done an unbelievable job of upgrading talent via transfers. They've lost some guys, the Jordan Harris's, the World Hurt, and Juwan Wesley and those guys, but they've upgraded the secondary unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
Quarterback position unbelievably fast. And they tried to on the offensive line, but obviously, like we said, Cantilena didn't make it. But they keep going this route and just finding guys to plug in from other schools. I don't think the rebuilding will take quite as long as I initially thought.
I think the defense has some potential.
I think it's got a lot of potential this year.
I'm not sure what kind of pressure they're going to be able to get on the quarterback, like, consistently, but I feel like that secondary is going to be good enough to keep them in it a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know what? I never even thought about that. Getting pressure on the quarterback will be an issue because last year, Trent Taylor and
Dale Pearson
did a great job getting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And Trent Taylor did a nice job. You know, he's a good player.
I mean, Pearson was had statistically one of the best,
I think,
pressuring the quarterback seasons in school history.
I think he had 9 sacks last year, didn't he? Which tied the school record.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jahasin Thomas looks the part. We don't know if he can get after the quarterback consistently. Last year, he actually would get in there quite a bit. He just never made a play. It was the weirdest thing. He had no problem getting by his guy, but when it actually came time to sack a quarterback or make a tackle behind the loss, very rarely did he do it. That could have been just some rust. So hopefully he gets in there. And you know me, I'm high on Justin Stewart. I think Justin Stewart could come in and fill the need as far as getting in after the quarterback. Because guys like J.D. Wagner and Gabe Luna, I think they can do a good job, but those aren't guys that you say, hey, go get me 8 sacks this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. Can I give a quick are you going to ridicule me if I do a quick little real life thing before we finish this thing off?
I won't ridicule you at all, man.
I want to just say prayers up from the Cyclone Fanatic family to Nebraska and Michigan State. Lost some really good young men yesterday. And Sam Fultz, punter at Nebraska, former punter for Michigan State, Mike Sadler. So we just want to say from the folks here at Cyclone Fanatic, we're thinking about him.
Thoughts and prayers. Yeah, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that happened. Where was that at?
It was in Wisconsin. They'd been like it was 3 guys
at a punting camp.
They were at a camp. Cole's kicking.
Yeah.
And they were coaching. It's actually crazy. I heard a story that Sam was. He told a story right before, like, the night session got rained out or something. And he got on the microphone and told his story about being a walk-on from a small town in Nebraska. And that was the last time anybody saw him in public.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Have they announced who the third person was in that car?
It was a kid, the place kicker from LSU. And he had some minor injuries, but he's going to be okay.
He's okay.
Yeah.
I just saw a place kicker from LSU's transfer to Texas. This is not the same kid.
I don't think it's him. Okay. No.
Yeah,
his name's like Colby Duhase or something like that. I think his name it is.
Yeah, that's terrible, terrible news. And like you said, thoughts and prayers to their family and to both Nebraska and Michigan State to the football teams too. Because I mean that, you know, I can't even imagine it.
It's crazy because Fultz was like one of the team leaders as the punter.
Yeah,
you know, like he was one of the guys that everybody looked up to on the team. That's scary, dude.
It is.
You know? I was shook pretty much all day yesterday. That had me pretty scared.
And they just kind of slid off the road and hit a tree.
They missed a turn and were just driving too fast, and yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Well, that's not a happy note to end on.
I wanted to say that.
Wanted to say it. No, I agree with you for that. That was nice. But next week or later on this week, depending on when we do it, hopefully we have a couple more names, especially for basketball, to hit on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down there to what? 41 days from football season?
40 days.
40 days from football season.
Yep.
Are you excited?
Yep. Yep.
When are we going to come on here? And I know the recruiting podcast isn't necessarily going game by game, but we never talk about actual football on the Fallcast. So I want to actually maybe talk about go game by game and do our predictions at some point.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Week before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, because Charter doesn't let me do that stuff.
Yeah, Charter doesn't like to talk about sports.
No, unless the sports come with maybe talking about like cheerleaders or music or stuff that does not matter, uniforms.
My dad was laughing about the spray tan conversation.
Oh, gosh. You know, people think that he's kidding on that stuff, 100% serious.
It's real.
It actually happened. And guy's got no shame, even though he should.
We don't make anything up on these podcasts. Like what the stuff we come on here and talk about, it's all real.
It is.
This is real. This is real life, man. You know what else is real life? Your need to get out and get down to the exercise coach. That's real life. That's some real talk.
Because you're saying I'm looking soft?
No, I'm just saying everybody.
Everybody needs to. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, it's you got to get in shape, got to get the muscle back in the body. You know, that's the one thing it does too. It's not so much losing the weight. I mean, losing weight's great, right? But it's about getting, turning that fat back into muscle. Exercise coach does it as well as anyone, if not better. I'd say, I'd argue better. Give him a call, 515-330-1299, or you can find him at Exercise Coach in West Des Moines, 4800 Mill Civic Parkway, Suite 107.
Get in there, and we promise, we at Cycle Fanatic promise, you will look as good or better than Adam Gray.
Well, that's not hard. Come on. That's an easy promise. That's – oh, wow. Thanks for being a dick, Jared.
All right, you got anything else to add?
No, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody.